Welcome to Managing Myeloma. My name is Dr. Philip McCarthy, and I am Professor of Oncology and Director of the Blood and Marrow Transplant Program at the Roswell Park Cancer Institute in Buffalo, New York. Today, I'm here to discuss a few abstracts, some related to the role of maintenance therapy and some to other issues related to what is found in community practice. Today, when we look at lenalidomide maintenance, we have a poster presentation looking at the crossover effect in the CLGB-100-104 study. And in this study, it was originally a 461-patient study. About half received placebo, the other half lenalidomide. And because the primary endpoint was met, which was progression-free survival, the study was unblinded. And at the time of unblinding, there were about 128 patients who had not progressed on placebo therapy. And about 86 of them crossed over to receive lenalidomide. So this crossover effect confounded the analysis, because the analysis was originally done as an intent to treat investigation. And so we had to try and balance out the effect of the crossover, because now we had placebo patients who were receiving lenalidomide, yet were being considered as placebo patients. So what this is a rank-preserving structural failure time model, or iterative parameter estimation, which are both statistical techniques that allow us to account for this crossover. And what it essentially showed is that the placebo arm had a smaller progression-free survival because of the crossover, and the lenalidomide arm, of course, remained the same because there was no crossover on this. So what this showed is that there was probably an even greater impact for the use of lenalidomide maintenance, and this is in concordance with what was found with the FDA approval. As you probably know, both the FDA and the European Medicines Agency, or EMA, both approved lenalidomide maintenance until progression because of both the French and the American studies, the CLGB-100-104 and the Italian studies. So we're very pleased that this crossover analysis also demonstrates the continued impact of lenalidomide maintenance, as well as allowing us to understand better the effect of the crossover. What's also interesting here is there was a very large British study, the Myeloma 11 study, which was reported at last ASH, but this time they looked at the effect of induction regimens, and they looked at two. This is about 1,000 patients per arm, and the two inductions were cyclophosphamide thalidomide dexamethasone versus cyclophosphamide lenalidomide dexamethasone. And what they showed is that the overall response rate was superior in the patients receiving a lenalidomide-based induction. And when they looked at maintenance, they found that maintenance lenalidomide was superior, of course, when compared to no maintenance in the patients receiving the lenalidomide induction. But the effect was magnified over patients who got a thalidomide-based induction and then got lenalidomide maintenance. Now, one concern about this study is patients were not exposed to bortezomib as part of their induction. They could receive a bortezomib cyclophosphamide dex based consolidation prior to transplant. So it made it a little bit complicated. And there were some patients who never received bortezomib. So I think that we'll have to see how this sorts out relative to, say, the French and American determination trials, which do look at both an IMID and a bortezomib as part of induction therapy. So the key take-home message from this is that patients still benefit from lenalidomide maintenance when looking at a different induction regimen. And then finally, there is a minimal residual disease, or MRD, study presented by the EMN-02 investigators. This is a large cooperative group trial in Europe. And what they looked at was minimal residual disease, or MRD, by multiparametric flow cytometry. And so what they found is that in patients who had achieved a VGPR, very good partial response, or better, it's about 300 patients out of 1,200 who attained this, that a certain percentage did attain, a large percentage attained MRD negativity. But what was even more important was that Of the patients who are MRD positive, 44% of them attained MRD negativity within a year of maintenance treatment. So the thing that's very exciting about this is that even patients who are MRD positive could become MRD negative with prolonged maintenance therapy. So I think the key element from this study is that lenalidomide maintenance remains a valid indication in this particular study, and that by incorporating MRD measurement of the bone marrow, it will allow us to be able to determine how well somebody's going to do long term. Indeed, the goal is to find a surrogate endpoint for an earlier endpoint for overall survival, because we now have patients who are living for many years on maintenance therapy. It's a good problem for the patient. That means they get to do better. But it's difficult for investigators, as we would have to keep studies open for 10 years to figure out if there is an overall survival benefit. So what we hope to do is find these early surrogates to allow us to be able to move on to new studies, incorporating new agents, as we have multiple agents that could be tested for maintenance therapy in the future. Thank you for viewing this activity. This is Philip McCarthy, speaking to you today from Madrid, Spain, at the European Hematology Association.